I'm glad that you've chosen to listen to our messages from the Presbyterian Church of Barnet. I'm Howard Gaston, the pastor, and I believe that God's Spirit will speak to you during this time.
So our scripture today is from Matthew chapter 10, verse 35 through 45. This continues on in our last part of our series on how to measure a life, and it begins this way. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus. "Teacher," they said, "there is something we want you to do for us." "What is it?" Jesus asked them. They answered, "When you sit on your throne in your glorious kingdom, we want you to let us sit with you, one on your right, one on your left." Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking for. Can you drink the cup of suffering that I must drink? Can you be baptized in the way that I must be baptized?" "We can," they answered. And Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup I must drink, be baptized in the way that I must be baptized. But I do not have the right to choose who will sit at my right or left. It is God who will give these places to those for whom he has prepared them." When the other 10 disciples heard about it, they became angry with James and John. So Jesus called all of them together and said, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the heathen have power over them, and the leaders have complete authority. This, however, is not the way it is among you. If one of you wants to be great, you must be the servant of the rest. If one of you wants to be first, you must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve and give his people life and to redeem many people." Amen. So, as part of today's sermon, I wanted to kind of do something different and show off a little bit. What I want to do is, during the sermon, there's going to be a little quick time movie of pictures of John in Ghana. And with each picture, there's going to be a quotation about serving. So it is, yeah, it's a little nepotism. I have John, you know, showing off John there doing the work in Ghana. But it's also a way for you to kind of focus on what does it mean for us to serve God as we talk about it today, because that is one of the measures that we all need to have in our lives is serving. We've talked about that one of the measures is love. The other measure is generosity. And the third is serving and being a servant to God and to a servant to other people. Now, when you think of all three of those, of generosity, love, and service, that kind of goes contrary to what we understand, as Jesus says, what it means to be great, what it means to be first, what it means to sit at the right hand of God. And yet, one of the great things about the church is that if we can comprehend what it means to do those three, love, generosity, and serving, then we truly will be the greatest and the first in the way that matters to God. It's contrary to much of what we learn and understand as we grow up, but it also has been seen throughout the life of the church and people that it truly has an effect and power. And so our scripture today really focuses on that. It's one of these many blunders of the disciples, one of the big mistakes that they make. James and John, you know, they know that time is getting end of Jesus' ministry. They know that Jesus has talked about the kingdom of God and that he's going to be the ruler of the kingdom of God. And they realize, wait a second, if he's going to be the ruler, then we are the 12, you know, we're associated with him. We're close to him. So we're going to have some part in this kingdom. Now, there's some speculation that James and John were kind of like the owners of the fishing boats that Jesus called them from, and like Peter and Andrew were just kind of like employees. So James and John were used to being in control and used to being in charge, and you know they wanted to, you know, and also had that kind of what they call class A, or that personality where they were aggressive. And so maybe they had a little conversation, but both of them said, you know what? If Jesus is going to, you know, rule in this kingdom, we might get our foot in there right away and say, you know what? Let's be second in command. And so they go to Jesus and they ask him the, you know, that ominous question, in a sense, that when your kingdom comes, can we be on the left and the right? And then Jesus tells them, well, you're going to suffer the same way I am, and you also, if you want to be the greatest, you have to be the least. If you want to be first, you have to be a slave. And so he changes and shifts that paradigm completely around. And this, in a sense, was embarrassing to James and John, because the other 10 looked at them and said, what are you thinking? Why would you do that? Why would you try to be better than us when all 12 of us have been working together for these last 3 years? Jesus says this profound thing. He says that for the Gentiles, or as our translation said, the heathens, that those they recognize as rulers rule over them. They're tyrants over those people. That was the concept that most of them have when it meant to come to ruling. They had the Romans all around them, and their idea of ruling was by force. And Jesus said that that was not the case. That if you truly wanted to be a ruler in my kingdom, then you were called to serve, called to give of yourself. Now, when we pause and think about that, again, that's one of those characteristics that I think people hold on to and people talk about at your 90th birthday or at your funeral. If you're a tyrant and an overbearing person, they don't really come up and say, well, he was really a jerk in the office. But they go and talk about the way that you served, the way that you were willing to give of yourself to other people. And if you were that type of person, they tell those stories. One of the very early funerals that I had to do was for a man who was abusive. His children didn't appreciate him. His wife, you know, had problems. They did not have a good marriage. And he died a miserable death. And I had a hard time saying something nice about this guy, because he didn't live a life that was filled with love or generosity, and he did not serve. He expected people to serve him. And I was able to word it in such a way that the wife later on came up to me and said, I really appreciated the way you said that, because I didn't compromise on the truth about who he was. And yet, how sad to struggle at one's funeral to say something positive about that person. And so as we look over our lives, the question comes down, am I a person that serves? Are those the stories that people are going to share? And then one of my favorite theologians, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and we kind of talked about this at Bible study last Thursday, because it really synced with what we were talking about, because we were talking in chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, where it talks about, you know, that Paul is talking to the church about having your attitude to be the same as Jesus, who was equal with God, but did not want to obtain and hold on to that equality, made himself nothing in a human form and lived among us, that Jesus took on this servanthood to live among us, and that is a parallel to what we are called to do. And one of the
aspects we talked about was a book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer called Life Together. And give you a real quick, I don't know how many of you know about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, but he was in World War II, German, and a German citizen, and he opposed Hitler's regime and did not go along with the church that supported Hitler. And so this book is basically a foundation to what he called the Confessing Church, and it was a church that was splitting off from the Lutheran Church of Germany at that time, and they were living in community. And so he sets up some rules and ways that one lives in community under Christ. Now, kind of the tragic thing about Bonhoeffer was that he got involved with a group of people that tried to assassinate Hitler. It failed. He was arrested, put into a concentration camp, and actually did most of his writing during that time in that camp, but then was hung for treason just days before the Allies came to free that prison. So he's one of the martyrs of faith. But in this book, he talks about seven ways in which you and I are called to minister to one another as a community, to minister with each other, to minister to other people. And here's a brief summary of that. Bonhoeffer begins his discussion on ministry. And when you use the word ministry, it means how we respond to each other. How do we work with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ? He says, the discussion of ministry of the community of Christ by looking at the toxic attitude that will destroy community. From the inception, each community, each member must be on guard against judgmental attitudes or that selfish self-centeredness that we have. One way a community can guard against this is by engaging in the ministry of holding their tongue. You don't have to say what comes to your mind, but that we keep our tongues tight and we refrain from any speech that does not edify the body. The companion ministry, number two, is the ministry of meekness. Members are to submit themselves, their will and desires to the community and seek to serve the community, not just yourself. The community should also learn to listen to each other, not simply nodding their heads, but engaging in what is being said with one another, but also in listening to be silent. In conjunction with serving with each other and listening, we're called to bear one another's burdens, to support one another when another person fails, when they have attitudes, habits, and characteristics that clash with ours. And finally, and according to this person, finally, members have the responsibility to proclaim God's word to each other as encouragement and admonishments, to help each other, not only to listen, but to say, here's what we think that God is calling you to be. And finally, for one of the last ones, he calls ministry of authority. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this, pastoral authority, and that pastoral authority is not me having authority over you, but pastoral authority is you having authority over each other, okay? That as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are all to be pastors to each other. Pastor's authority can be attained only by the servant of Jesus, who seeks no power of his or her own, who she or himself is a brother and sister among brothers and sisters, submitting to the authority of the word. So in essence, what Bonhoeffer calls us to be as a community is a servant community, because we are all together redeemed by Christ. My sinfulness is no greater than your sinfulness, and your sinfulness is no greater than mine. And so we work with each other by listening, by being meek with each other, by taking care of each other's burden, by willing to support each other when you need it, by not gloating over us or you in authority by saying, I'm the pastor or I've been here longer, but by willing to serve one another. Now, One of the stories that I want to share with you about this is one and an example that happened to me and a friend of mine on a canoe trip, one of our pastor's canoe trips. As you know, we always have a group of 7 to 12 pastors on a trip. And traditionally, early on, we had a group that went together all the time. It was myself, Harper, Bob, and Don. And Don, well, let's just say he's a unique character. Don was one of these people that, for some reason, always felt like he had to be the servant. He kind of ultimately fulfilled what Bonhoeffer said. I mean, so much to the point that it would get annoying. You would you'd be at a portage and ready to put on your pack, and Don would be like, I'll carry that for you, Howard. And you'd be like, why, Don, would you want to carry my backpack? He had no reason. I mean, he just did that. And Don did some silly things, but they were always very good-natured. He always was this person who always wanted to help, almost to a psychological point that you wondered why, there was a problem there. But Don always was that way. And so one of the things that happened, particularly when Harper and I were leading the trip, is in Don, because of health, couldn't come anymore, we would tell Don stories. And we would always tell Don stories. Everything would remind us. Oh, remember the time Don wanted to do this? Remember the time Don did this? And we did this over and over again. And finally, one of the guys on the trip who knew Don real well, because he was in the same presbytery, he admonished us, as Bonhoeffer said. He says, I know Don. And Don is a good-natured person who always means well. And he said, I'm not sure that we should be talking about him when he's not here like that. And that kind of cut Harper and myself back a little bit and thinking, you're right. We're making fun of someone who's willing to be a servant. Granted, he does some silly things, but we're still making fun of a brother in Christ who's willing to be a servant. And that reminded me that not only in a special group like that, but in a group like this, how often do we encourage and edify each other? How often do we speak positively of somebody who's not with us? How often are we willing to listen rather than talk? How willing are we willing to be a servant of Christ? For that is what measures us in the community of faith. At the last Pub Theology, we were talking about love and hate, and how mostly about hate and what hate looks like and what hate means and how, we see that in our lives. And as we were talking, one person in the group, which I still don't understand why this person comes to this group, but he's an atheist. He claims he doesn't believe in God, but he comes to our Pub Theology every Wednesday. And he is so engaged in conversation. But at any rate, he doesn't believe in God. And as we're talking about love and hate and stuff like that, all of a sudden he came up and says, if Christians did what the Bible told them to do, the world would be different. And I just looked at him, and my first thought was, wow, you're right. Because history shows that. In the early church, the church was a servant. They served. They served the people of the community that weren't believers. They served. They weren't about power. They weren't about prestige. They weren't about getting their way. And the church grew from thousands to millions in like 100 years. We haven't seen that kind of growth. We haven't seen that kind of transformation of culture since then. And if the church is able to grasp what Bonhoeffer says, what Jesus calls us to be, and live that out with one another and with the world around us, my atheist friend's right. The world would be different. Let's pray. God, we come before you, and there are many ways for us to measure our lives, many ways for us to see whether or not we're getting ahead. that we're making more money, that we have a bigger promotion, that we're to have more people beneath us, as the expression goes. But yet you call us to be last. You call us to be a servant. You call us not to seek greatness and position, but to seek service. And that is how our life will be measured, by the way that we serve one another, by the way that we love one another, and by the way that we give to one another. Lord, we pray that this will be our standard in our days. We pray all this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, I hope these messages have been a blessing to you for your life. And if you need any more assistance, be sure to contact the Presbyterian Church of Barnet in Vermont. Thank you.